Okay. I definitely have an interesting thing to discuss today. As whenever I have an interesting thing, I assume that there'll be people who agree or disagree. The sources are the sources. My conclusion is my conclusion. I believe deeply in the idea I'm going to share with you today. Whether I can convince you or not is a different question. Let's start at the beginning. Okay. We've been taught, I was taught as a child and through my life, that God exists separate and apart from us. He's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's omni everything. He does what he wants, he's overarching. He obviously and almost by definition needs nothing from us. And as a result, the assumption is he cannot be affected by us. Maybe in human terms, he's disappointed if I sin, but my sin doesn't affect him. And similarly, God asks us to do things, but it's not because he needs them, it's because he wants us to do them for a whole range of philosophic, reasons. But just take the basic one. God wants us to be better. So therefore, he asks us to do things that will better us. But he certainly doesn't need the things that we're going to do, and they don't impact us, even with respect to karbanos and reach nichalach. Everybody goes out of their way to point out that it's not, of course, God's not eating them. He doesn't need them. It doesn't matter. Okay. Despite this, the other position exists, and it exists among serious Jewish thinkers, and that is, in a way that sounds completely heretical, our behavior can and does impact on God. Okay, it comes up in many, many ways, but the reason we're talking about it today is because I see it most clearly on Rosh Hashanah and in the theme of Rosh Hashanah. And so we'll say this. Hasidim, they really talk about this openly. Hasidim talk about Rosh Hashanah as being the day of coronation, the day when we make God into the king of the world. Now, that's a striking example of us impacting God. What does it mean that we're making God the king of the world? If we didn't, he wouldn't be. It's hard to entertain that idea. And yet, it's not just the Hasidic idea. The whole idea of Malchios, the whole idea of being Mamlech Hashem, we say in davening, V'yitnu lecha keter melucha, as if we are crowning God. Said it more starkly, as if we didn't, God wouldn't be the king. Now, on the one hand, that's impossible. On the other hand, that seems very likely. So what I want to do today is, we'll do it in three parts. First,
Ellie,
already? Yeah.
isn't it possible that it's supposed to be that it affects us and our thinking? It's not that it will necessarily change God.
It's definitely possible. That's not a path that I'm going to explore, but you're absolutely right. You could always say all these things are not real, they're just to get us to think that way. Personally, I don't like that. I don't want to be fooled during my davening. I want to believe the words that I'm saying, although I'm certainly, I certainly can't say that your approach is wrong. It doesn't speak to me personally. And, as we all
Ellie,
know, I get to give the shear. So I get to
don't
say the thing.
isn't the most fundamental disappointment? Okay, I'll wait to the end. Bye.
Oh, you're already upset. Let me say something genuinely offensive, Henry, and then you'll get me. Okay, let's start at the beginning. Let's look at just forgetting anything I said till now. Let's look at Malchios on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, let's start with, oh, I should pop up a sheet. Let's see if this is the right one. Yeah, this looks like the right one. Okay, here we go. First source, famous Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Lamed Daled Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says, Imru lifanai barosh hashanah, malchios zichronos v'shofros. say to me or say in front of me on Rosh Hashanah three separate concepts, Malchios, Zichronos, and Shopros. Obviously, we recognize those words and those terms. They are the centerpiece of Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. Okay? How does it work? So Gemara says, what are Malchios? And here it is. Kidei Shetamlichuni Aleichem. The purpose of saying Malchios is so that you could crown me, you can coronate me, you can make me your king. So certainly, you know, the simple reading of the words sounds like we're impacting on God, and sounds like God is asking us to do it. Okay, just to finish, Zichronos, Kidei Sheyavo Lefanai Zichronechem Letova. Why do you have to say Zichronos? So that I'll remember all the good memories that I have of you, says God. Ubama, how will I be reminded of this? Bishofar. I think the simple reading of this Gemara, which is at the core again of our davening on Rosh Hashanah, is that Malchios is the most important part. And when we make God our king, it's important that God think of us well. And how do we get him to think of us well? By blowing shofar. Okay, but again, the key words, Malchios kidei shetam lichuni aleichem, the purpose of Malchios in Musaf Rosh Hashanah, and when you read the Psukim, if we took out Machzorim, you'd see it. It's literally to cause God, or to acknowledge God, or to make God into our king. Here's a halacha that we all know. In Aseret Yemei Teshuva, starting on Rosh Hashanah, right, we change the text of Shmona Esrei in a number of ways. So, you know, all the other ones, to cut through it, all the other ones, if you get it wrong, you don't have to repeat Shmona Esrei. But in source number two, says the Shulchan Aruch, Ba'aseres Yimei Tshuva, Omer, during Aseres Yimei Tshuva, starting in Rosh Hashanah, you say HaMelech HaKadosh and HaMelech HaMishpat, Ve'im Ta'ah O Shehu Misupakim Hu Ba'amelech HaKadosh Chozer L'Rosh. With respect to HaMelech HaKadosh, meaning if you said HaKel HaKadosh, or you don't remember, you have to go back to the beginning of Shmona Esrei. The Mishnah Brewer right there explains, why is it so important to describe God as HaMelech HaKadosh? So he says, where my cursor is, Mishum, She'achshav hein yimei din, right now we're talking during days of judgment, She'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev V'dan Kal Ha'olam, God is judging the whole world, U'marem Malchuto U'mem Shalto Shehu Bakol Mashallah. And in order to judge, or when he judges, it shows that he is our king and that he rules over us. So I'm not claiming that the Mishnah Berurah supports some idea that we make God the king, but the Mishnah Berurah explains, why is it wrong to say HaKel HaKadosh when all year long, you know, I would have always thought, I've thought this my whole life, okay, you should say HaMelech HaKadosh, that's what, you know, we're supposed to say during Aseret Yemei Teshuva. But if I say HaKel HaKadosh the way I do 355 other days of the year, is that so bad? Do I really have to repeat the whole Shmona Esrei? But here you see the idea, yeah. For 10 days, God plays a different role, whatever that means. He plays the role of Melech in the Mishnah Berurah, the role of Melech as reflected in his judgment of us. And therefore, any other description of God during those 10 days is wrong, even though it's the correct description of God every other day of the year. Okay, but here you see how critical the idea of Melech is within our davening. Last source for this bit. Source number three on the sheet, a Gemara at the end of Rosh Hashanah, Lamed Bet Amud Aleph. The Gemara says as follows. Veheichan Omra L'Kiddushas Hayom. Little background. Every Shmona Esrei that we have is either 18, really 19 brachot, that's during the week, or 7. Friday night, Shabbos day, Shabbos mincha, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, Yom Kippur, every single Shmona Esrei is either 19 brachos or 7, except for Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because you have to say Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. Now, you have to say Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, and you also have to say some bracha about Rosh Hashanah. That would give us 10 brachot. For some reason, Chazal knew that there were only supposed to be 9 brachot for Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara asks, okay, I have the first 3 and the last 3. Those 6 exist in every Shmona Esrei. Now I have 4 ideas that have to be included in the middle 3 brachos. Right? One idea is what we call Kiddushat Hayom. So on Shabbos, you say, Ruch Ata Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos. On Yom Tov, Ruch Ata Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim. So obviously you have to say that, Ruch Ata Hashem Mekadesh, you know, Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron. So where does that go? So the Gemara says, that bracha should be included, Tanya, Rebbe Omer, Im HaMalchuyot Omra. That bracha should be included in the bracha of Malchios. Ma matzinu b'chol makom b'rivi'it. In every single davening, Kiddushat Hayom is the middle bracha. On Shabbos and on Yom Tov, it is the middle bracha. The fourth bracha. Afkan b'rivi'it. So here too, it should be the fourth bracha. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer. No. Im hazichronot omra. You should put it not with Malchios, but with zichronos. Why? Ma matzinu b'chol makom ba'emtza. He says, no, it's not that it's the fourth bracha on Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's that it's the middle bracha. Afkan ba'emtza. So here too, it should be part of the fifth bracha. Okay, the Gemara's reasons are technical. But we paskin that Malchios is combined with Kiddushat Hayom. Therefore, you have this long bracha in the middle of Shemona Esrei of Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. And the concluding bracha is Melech al kol ha'aretz Mekadesh Yisrael v'yom azikara. The Melech al kol ha'aretz is the Malchios part of the bracha. Mekadesh Yisrael v'yom azikaron is the Kiddushat Hayom part of the bracha. That's parallel to Mekadesh HaShabbos on Shabbos, Mekadesh Zov HaZmanim on the Regalim. So here you have this longer bracha. Melech al kol ha'aretz is Malchios. Mekadesh Yisrael v'yom hazikaron is Rosh Hashanah, is Kiddushat Hayom. It seems obvious to me then that because we paskin that Malchios is joined together with Kiddushat Hayom, that's our way of paskining that Malchios is the centerpiece of the day. That if you asked yourself, what's the most important part of davening? What makes it Rosh Hashanah? The answer is Malchios. The answer is making God our king is the centerpiece of Shemona Esrei, and therefore it's included in the bracha that defines the day. It's not just that God is Mekadesh Yisrael v'yom hazikaron, it's that God is Melech al kol ha'aretz. And as Melech al kol ha'aretz, a special role on Rosh Hashanah, he does these other things as well. Okay, fine. Those 3 sources, I hope, sort of prove this unrelated point that we're talking about, and that is Malchios, making God the king, is the centerpiece of Rosh Hashanah, and certainly of Rosh Hashanah David. Okay, let's leave that. Let's go back to the issue I started with, about whether or not we have at least the theoretical ability to impact on God, right? Is that disrespectful or is that in fact the case? There are 2 Rambans on this week's Parsha, which is really where this whole idea came to me from. Almost everything I say is not original. It's just a question of putting all the pieces together. But there are 2 Rambans on this week's Parsha. One of them is staggering. The other one I'll have to try to convince you. Okay, here we go. Source number 4 says the Torah, or says Moshe Rabbeinu, Hayom hazeh Hashem Elokecha mitzavecha la'asot et hachukim ha'ele ve'et hamishpatim v'shamarta va'asita otam b'chol levavecha v'chol nafshecha. Today, God has ki'ilu given you the chukim and mishpatim, the Torah, and you've accepted it. This is obviously the end of the long speech in Devarim of the chukim and mishpatim. Moshe's finished that speech. And he's saying to you, to us, acknowledge that you've now gotten the Torah. Now it gets interesting. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Es Hashem he'emarto hayom lihiyot lecha leilohim v'lalechet bidiracha v'lishmo chukavu mitzvotavu mishpatavu v'lishmo bekalo. you did something to Hashem today to acknowledge that you've accepted the Torah. What have you done? Es Hashem he'emarta. Now, there's a whole range of possible meanings for this word. But what word does it remind us of?
Omer.
Huh?
Omer.
Yeah. Aleph Mem Resh. The Shoresh is Omer, Amar, Omrim, Amarta. What does it mean? Es Hashem He'emarta. God, you said. So the best English translation I could find is you declared. It's a form of the word Amar. Es Hashem He'emarta Hayom. You declared God today to be your God. And now better, Yudchet. Vashem he'emir cha hayom lihiyot lo la'am segula kasher diber lach v'lishmo kol mitzvotav. Whatever it is, it's reciprocal. We did something to God today to make him our king, and he did something today to make us his people. We he'emarta, he he'emir cha. It's the same word. Now look at the Ramban in source number 5. The Ramban says, V'ta'am et Hashem he'emarta hayom. Kevan shekibaltem aleichem kol ha-Torah b'peirusha u'b'dikduka u'v'chidusha. Once you have accepted the Torah, as you've done right now, with all its explanations and its details and its chidushim, hine gidaltem Hashem. Again. Hine gidaltem Hashem. Literally, you have made God larger. You have made God bigger. You could use the word magnify because it's less offensive philosophically, but the Ramban says as clearly as you can, and I'm telling you, he does it in many, many places. He just takes it as a given. You have, by acknowledging God, you have impacted God. You have made him bigger. V'romam temoto, and you praised him, shiyihiyah, hu livado lachem leilokim, lo todu be'el acher klal. You have made him your God, and you've acknowledged or committed to not acknowledge or not recognize any other gods. Okay, it is hard to read this Ramban other than as a source or as a proof to the idea, and I think the Ramban didn't blink an eye. He didn't think there was anything, any chiddush in this, that we have impacted God. By accepting the Torah on this week's parsha, he says, Hine gidaltem Hashem, you have literally in the non-literal sense of the word, made God bigger. Okay, that one I think it's impossible to debate. There's another Ramban in this week's parsha, which is also just fascinating. I think it supports the same idea, although this one you could argue with me on. At the end of all the arurs, there are all these specific arurs. Arur, person who does that, curses the person who does that, curses the person who does that. And then the very end, arur asher lo yakim et divrei ha-Torah hazot la'asot otam va'amar kol ha'am amein. Okay, cursed is the person who doesn't make him, I guess, support the Torah. So Rashi doesn't see anything big in this. Rashi thinks it's just a catch-all. Says Rashi in source number 7, as quoted by the Ramban, Kan kalala kala Torah kula. Now here, it just includes the whole Torah. V'kiblua alehem be'alo b'shvua lashon Rashi. Rashi says, no, it's just a catch-all. This is where B'nai Yisrael, 40 years after the original acceptance of the Torah, re-accepted the Torah. The Ramban doesn't say it's wrong, but the Ramban has an insight. Says the Ramban, Ulefi da'ati, ki ha-kabbalah hazot, what does it mean that we accept the Torah? She-yodeh b'mitzvot b'libo. That you acknowledge internally, in your heart, you acknowledge and accept the truth of the Torah. V'yihiyu be'inav emet. It's important. You believe it to be true, not just that you're going to be obedient to God, you believe Torah to be true. V'ya'amin sheha useh otan, yihiyeh lo sachar v'tova, v'ha'over aleihem ye'onesh. Says the Rambam, what does it mean to accept it? It means that you believe if you do God's will, you will be rewarded. naturally, meaning the world will reward you. And if you don't, you'll be punished. Not that something external will happen. If you keep the Torah, it will rain. Not because it's external. It's because it's true. The best example I heard on this point is when you're a kid, see, your parents tell you, you know, not to put your finger in the fire. So if you're a good kid and you're obedient, you know, you listen to your parents. But at some point in life, you learn that it's not just that they said it, it's true. If you put your finger in fire, it will burn. That's the goal. The goal is to understand and believe that everything God says, not just we're obedient to him, but when we accept it, we're supporting the truth of the Torah. And here it's a side point, but it's fascinating. It says, "V'im yichpor ba'achat mehem, o tihye be'einav b'teila la'olam, hinehu arur." If you reject any mitzvah, then you're cursed. Aval, im avar al achat mehen. But let's say you violated one of the mitzvahs atar. Kigon shachal ha-chazir v'ha-sheket z'ta'avato. You're starving. You had a cheeseburger. O shalo asas sukkah v'lulav la'atzla. You're lazy. So you didn't build a sukkah. Einenu b'cherem azeh. You're not cursed. Ki lo amar ha-katuv asher lo ya'aseh divrei ha-torah hazot. Elo amar asher lo yakim et divrei ha-torah hazot la'asot. Here's a distinction, says the Ramban. Many people sin, but a sin out of your own Yetzirah is not a rejection of the Malchus Hashem. You're not rejecting God or his Torah. You're just weak. We make mistakes all the time, so we sin. Says the Ramban, it's a huge difference. If you sin because you're a weak person, okay, so you sin. I'm not saying it's a great thing, but says the Ramban, you're not undermining God. But the second you sin intentionally, the second you say either, you know, God forbid, God doesn't exist, and or God doesn't have the authority to, and or God isn't right about this. No, then you're not making, then you're undermining the Torah. And the Torah needs our support, and God needs our support. And so there's a huge difference. We would say there's a huge difference between Mazid and Shogeg. But it's not because of what we normally think. Mazid undermines God's authority. Shogeg reflects the fact that we sin, that we're human beings, right? The difference is if I say I'm not doing it because God can't command me to do that, then I'm undermining the Torah and I'm undermining God. But if I simply don't do it because I didn't daven this morning because I overslept, not because I reject God, that's a different thing. That's not undermining God. And apparently, God needs our support. And, you know, sort of implicitly here, the Ramban is saying, Asher lo yakim. What does it mean that you're not upholding? It means God needs our help. God wants us to uphold the truth of the Torah. And when we do, somehow the Torah and God become bigger, firmer, more permanent, whatever word you want to use. Okay? Now, these two Rambans are unrelated to Rosh Hashanah, obviously. They're just the Ramban talking on this week's Parsha. But the idea that the Ramban has, we now want to use to Rosh Hashanah. Again, the Ramban takes as a given that God wants our help. The Ramban takes as a given that when we do certain things, we strengthen God's presence. We literally, in source number 5, Hine gidaltem Hashem, we have made God bigger. Okay, I will say that, not that the Ramban needs the support, but you can find this idea in the writings of Rav Soloveitchik. You can find it in Rav Lichtenstein's writings. I heard it many times from my Rebbe, Rav Bick. It's out there. Now, I acknowledge why it's dangerous and why probably most people don't talk about it. But it's out there. It's not something that, you know, I'm revealing or making up on my own now. Okay, now that we understand it's out there, let's return to Rosh Hashanah and see if we could make sense of this whole philosophic idea and how it impacts on Rosh Hashanah. Again, the idea being that somehow human beings can impact on God and that that's expressed on Rosh Hashanah through Malchios. So here we go. One more kind of, not bizarre, but difficult source that will then make sense of. Last one, last Gemara that we're going to use today. Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Bet, says as follows in source number 8. It's as famous a Gemara as there is. Vayavor, right? Moshe says to God, Hareini nas kvodecha. They're at Har Sinai. I want to see you, you know, who you are. And God says, you can't. You can see my back. And then God teaches him the Yud Gimel Midos. Vayavor Hashem al panav vayikra. So God passes in front of Moshe, and he says, what does he say? Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum chanan. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, says Rabbi Yochanan, il malei mikra katuv e ef sharla omro. Had it not been written in the pasuk, it would be prohibited for me to say. Meaning, I'm about to describe God in human terms, something we think is wrong. But I'm only going to do it because it says it in the Torah. Now, I'll share with you a secret that we're not going to explore now, and that is it doesn't really say it in the Torah. Rabbi Yochanan says it. But here's what he says. Milameid shenit atef hakadosh baruch hu kishliach tzibur. What it teaches us is that God ki'ilu put on a talis and acted as a chazan. Ve'hera lo le'moshe seder tefillah. He didn't just tell Moshe the text of the Yud Gimel Midos. He showed him. He ki'ilu put on a talis, talk about saying things we're not allowed to say. And he stood with him and he said it. Amar lo, God says to Moshe, Kol zman she'Yisrael chotin, anytime that the Jewish people sin, ya'asu lefanai kiseder hazeh va'ani mochel lohem. They should do, it's interesting, he doesn't even say they should say, they should do this procedure and I will forgive them. What is it? Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, Chanun, right? The Yud Gimel Midos. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda adds, Brit Kruta Lishlosh Esrei Midot She'enan Chozrot Rekam. We have a covenant with God that the Yud Gimel Midos will always be responded to. God will never reject the Yud Gimel Midos. Shenema Hine Anochi Karet Brit. I am now making with you a covenant. And presumably we understand that the covenant is that when we say Yud Gimel Midos, God will respond. So the obvious question is, could that really be true? There's some magical tefillah, and if we just say it, there's some incantation. If we just say it, God will have no choice? It doesn't seem Jewish. It doesn't seem true. Right, like, you know, what in the world's going on in this Gemara? Okay? That's the question that relates to Yud Gimel Midos. Yud Gimel Midos is what we're about to start saying Motzei Shabbos for the next 2 weeks or so. We need to understand it, and we need to understand our impact on God. So, by way of introduction now to the final point. If we wanted to say that God needs our help, there are one of two ways in which it can be done. And let me preface this by saying, I don't remember what grade I was in the Hebrew Academy of Long Beach, but there was some smart guy who came in and had like this like great question that no rabbi could answer. And that was, can God make a rock that's so heavy that he can't lift it? Again, I remember clearly hearing this thing for the first time. I said, this is genius, right? It's a funny question. The answer is, of course, God could do anything. But hold that in abeyance. And now let's see what we can do with it. Let's say God needs our help. What would it mean, and how could we say it in a way that doesn't offend all the ideas we grew up with? So the easiest way is to do it linguistically. By which I mean, there are terms in all languages, we'll do it in English, but it's in all languages, where they're relative. Without the other thing, you can't be X. For example, you can't be a parent if you don't have a child. Okay, it's just the language doesn't allow you to describe yourself as a parent because the definition of a father or a mother is, you have a son or a daughter. If you don't, you're not a parent, right? The definition of a spouse, you can't be a husband without a wife. You can't be a wife without a husband. Why? You're not strong? No, it just doesn't work. The language doesn't support that. Okay? That's one approach. And that's probably the dominant and the safest approach to this issue that we've been discussing. Why does God need us? Because without us, you can't be a king. How do I know that? So it's in a gazillion places. I happen to have found it in Rabbeinu Bechaye, a Talmud of the Ramban, on the Torah, but it's really in a lot of places. Source number 9. Says Rabbeinu Bechaye, Yadua ki shem Elokim hanizkar bibreshit hu melech ha'olam. When God is described as Elokim in Breishis, it means the king of the world. V'zeh anu omrim b'rosh hashana shebo nivra ha'olam. Says Rabbeinu Bechai, so it makes sense. That's what we emphasize on Rosh Hashanah, because on Rosh Hashanah, God created the world. Hamelech HaKadosh v'hamelech HaMishpat lefi shehayom hahu hu tchilat ma'asav, because the day of Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of God's creation. And here it comes. She'ein melech below am, because you cannot be a king without subjects. Even God, the term doesn't work. I think, I don't remember this, but I think, you know, in the book, The Little Prince, right, one of the places he goes is some little planet where there's only a king. And the joke is this guy is making decrees and ruling over, but there's no one else there. So Lehavdil, says Rabbeinu Bechaye, God needed us. Without us, you know, God could be omnipotent and omniscient and all these things, but the Ein Melech below Am. Linguistically and maybe substantively, God needs us. Without us, we don't exist. Now, just one thing to point out, because it's interesting. Nobody thinks the world was created on Rosh Hashanah. Everybody thinks Adam and Chava were created on Rosh Hashanah. The rest of the world was started to be created on the 26th of Elul, if that works mathematically. The sixth day of creation was Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, that's Rosh Hashanah. That's the day that human beings were created. As a result, that's the day that God became the Melech. So historically, the reason why we're so focused on making God a melech on Rosh Hashanah is because that's actually the day upon which he became melech. Because when we came into existence, God became the king, and therefore on that linguistic basis, God needs us, right? If it wasn't for us, however you say it, God would not be God. Now, that's one view. There are plenty of places we could look at to represent the other view. One of the psukim that are quoted in the davening of Rosh Hashanah in source number 10, it's a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Ko amar Hashem melech Yisrael v'goalo, Hashem tzvakot, he is the melech. What else is he? Ani rishon v'ani acharon umi baladai ein Elokim. I was first, I'm last, and other than me, there is no God. Certainly, you could use this pasuk to argue against the point that I'm making, which is here God seems to be wholly independent. Ani rishon v'ani acharon, and nothing touches me. But interestingly, umi bal adai ein Elokim. It doesn't say umi bal adai ein melech al kol ha'olam. So even in this pasuk, it's possible. Of course, to be God, he, capital H, doesn't need us. But to be melech, he, capital H, needs us. Another source. This is famous. It's fascinating. I'll admit it. I'm going to quote you a Maharil, which I found by accident. Just want to admit this. On my Bar Ilan, I don't really have a sitter. It's an old version. So I just word searched the words so that I could copy it and paste because I'm really slow typing in Hebrew. But it turns out it's quoted in Maharil and it's fantastic. The Maharil lived in the late 1300s. Basically, all of Ashkenazi minhagim can be traced to the Maharil. The Rama quotes the Maharil all the time to support our minhagim. He was very, you know, into the early 1400s, he was the dominant voice for Ashkenazim in Europe. Okay, here's the piyut that we've all been saying since we're little kids. Adon Olam, source number 11. Adon Olam Hashem Malach B'Terem Kol Yitzin Yivra. Let's translate. Master of the world who ruled before anything else was created. B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. Before anything else was created. Le'et na'asa b'cheftzo kol. But at that moment in time where the world was created through his desire, Azai Melech Shemo Nikra, then he could be called Melech. Before then, perhaps he couldn't be called Melech. So the Ma'aril is going to deal with this. The Ma'aril says, here he goes, Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu U'Baruch Shemo Ein Tzarich L'Shum Haskama. God doesn't need us, doesn't need our approach, our approval, or our support. Ki haya hovevi hiya. He was, he is, he will be. Umi pnezeh haya melech afilu kodem briyuta olam. Says the Ma'aril, against the point we're trying to make. God was a melech before the world was created. Rak lo haya adam sheyikra melech. A technicality. Nobody called him the king because nobody existed. Vizehu le'ed na'asa b'chepzo kol. That's what the piyut means in the second line. No, but when people existed, because God willed them into existence, azai melech shimo nikra, haya karo melech, then he could be called king. Aval melech haya gam king kodem. But he happened to have been the king before. I think the Ramban would strongly disagree with this. I know that Rav Soloveitchik disagreed with this. And I think the simple reading, not that I have any say in this machlokes, the way I read it is, no, it's true. He did rule over the world beforehand, but le'et na'asa b'cheftzo kol azai melech shimo nikra. He could only fully be a king when there were human beings. God needs us. If we don't acknowledge him as king, he could be all the other things, but he can't be king.
What about the malachim?
What about the malachim?
They acknowledge him as the lead, as the king also, as a leader.
Okay, give me 3 minutes. First of all, welcome, Jackie. Second, give me 3 minutes and I'll get there. Okay, first, let's acknowledge that both of these perspectives are reflected in Davin. Source number 12 seems exactly like the Maharil. God is, and he controls everything. He doesn't need anything. Uvechein tank pachtcha, Hashem lekin olchol ma'asecha, make the world fear you. Ve'ei matcha kol ma'ashabrasa, v'yira'ucha kol ha'masim, v'yishtahvu lecha kol ha'bruim. You know, he's God, he exists, and all we do is bow down to him. On the other hand, a source that we used to only see on Rosh Hashanah, by the way, the whole Aleinu and Al Kei Nekava, it didn't exist in Davening originally. But people liked it so much in Musaf of Rosh Hashanah that literally we started saying it every day. Here it comes. Al kein nekavel lecha Hashem okein lirod meirab tferes uzecha. I want to see these things. You'll take away gilulim in arts v'ha'ilim karoti karetun l'takein olam b'malchut shakai. Okay, we Orthodox Jews have given up ownership of this phrase, you know, to the more liberal branches. No, l'sakein olam b'malchut shakai. It's our job to fix the world. God put us on this earth to help the world see God's presence. V'chol b'nei v'asar yikru b'shmecha, and we can help other people cry out in God's name. But it's our responsibility. Again, one source seems to stand for the fact that God exists separate and apart from everything. The other source seems to say that God wants our help. Not that he needs our help, perhaps, but that he wants our help. And we're supposed to participate in fixing the world. Jackie's point, source number 14. What do we say in Kedusha? So we quote the Malachim. The Malachim say, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos, Moloch HaLaretz Kvado. God is the holiest of holy. And they also say, Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimekomo. God should be blessed and, you know, not that God should be blessed. God is, Baruch Kvod Hashem, God is blessed from his place. But we say, Yimloch Hashem la'olam alokach tzion l'dovador haluka, that God should reign forever. Malachim can't say that. You know why? They don't have Bechira Chafshis. It's meaningless for a Malach to acknowledge that God is the king. Malachim don't need kings. Only people with free will need kings. And only people with free will can coronate somebody. Only people with free will can acknowledge that this is the king and strengthen the king via that acknowledgement. And on some level, that relates to this, you know, the other dominant theme of Rosh Hashanah, which is tshuva. When a person is close to the king and acknowledges the king, okay, it's nice, but it's kind of a given. If you're in the cabinet, if you're the prime minister and you acknowledge the king, okay, nobody expects anything different from you. But if you're a sinner, if on the day that you're acknowledging all the sins that you did and all the things that you did wrong and you're begging for forgiveness, if on that day, instead of rejecting the king, you embrace the king, that's meaningful. That's what human beings do because God made us with free will. And here we come to the second part. Till now, I've been pretending that it's all linguistic. Okay, you can't be a parent without children. You can't be a spouse without a husband or a wife. You can't be ein melech below am. But what if it's deeper than that? What if the whole idea of l'takein olam b'malchut shakai or l'sakein olam b'malchut shakai, what if it's real? Right? What if, of course, God could have made a perfect world, but he didn't. He chose not to. The Gemara says that hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyiras shamayim. So I think to myself, really? Why? God can't make us fear him? But the answer is, of course he can. He chose not to. God could make a rock that he can't lift if that's what he wants. He can limit himself whenever he wants. And what if God has decided to limit his presence in this world? Or, said more precisely, to allow us to decide how present he is in the world. The most famous line from the Kotzker Rebbe is, where is God? Wherever you let him in. I don't get it. God could knock down the door. He doesn't need me to let him in. But he has decided to create a world in which he needs me. He could have created another world. He could have created a world in which there's no cancer and there's no corona and there's none of these things, but he chose not to. He chose to create a world in which he is limited and we make him more present. I know that sounds crazy, but that's the pshat in Yud Gimel Midos. When we say Yud Gimel Midos, when we describe God, we are making God more present. We are inviting him into our world. And without that, he's less present. It's as simple as that. Example, I'm walking on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan. This is obviously theoretical, okay? And there's an old Chinese lady who's crossing the street. She's about to be pancaked by this enormous truck. And I, wearing my yarmulke, run out into the middle of the street and save her life. Everybody there looks and says, wow, that Jewish guy risked his life to save somebody who he doesn't even know. That's the whole Chinese lady part. It's clear that I don't know her, right? In that moment, I have made God more present on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan than he was before. Literally, I have made God more present. Of course, he could have shown up there himself and he could have done a miracle, but he chooses not to. And he chooses to rely on us to make him present. And that is pshat. I heard this both from my Rebbe Rav Amital and from Rav Lichtenstein. When the Rambam says, Kiddush Hashem, v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, right? Al menat shetikadshu shemi barabim. You are supposed to sanctify my name in public. So we think, okay, you know, I don't know, it's a nice thing. How come nobody's bothered? What does it mean to sanctify God? Isn't God the holiest thing in the world? What, God needs my help to sanctify him? Said Rav Amital, and just give me a chance with this before you get angry. Rav Amital said the Holocaust, which he survived, was a chilul Hashem. What does that mean? It's a chilul Hashem. He said, during the Holocaust, nobody respected the God of the Jews. Nobody wanted anything to do with the God of the Jews. Ki'ilu, the God of the Jews, was smaller during the Holocaust. He said the founding of the state of Israel was a Kiddush Hashem. What does that mean? It means all of a sudden people respected the God of the Jews. We made the God of the Jews more present in the world. And he and the Rav and Ravan, all of them think it's literal. We can, a Kiddush Hashem is to literally make God more present. A Chilul Hashem, God forbid, is the opposite. It's to make God less present. And so in the end, yeah, I think it's really true. I think that we are allowed to, and in the Ramban's view, we are supposed to impact God in this world. Either because linguistically, you know, God needs us, Ein Melech Belo Am, or what I believe, substantively, God has created a world in which he chose to limit himself, and in which he passed on the responsibility for making himself more present to us. And Rosh Hashanah is the day that we do that. Rosh Hashanah is the day that we came into existence and God became the king. And therefore, not just metaphorically, and not just as Debbie wanted to say at the beginning, you know, we're told that we do this. I think we really do it. We literally make God our king on Rosh Hashanah. And every time we say Yud Gimel Midos going forward, we make God more present. It's an invitation for God to stand amongst us and to daven with us. What the details mean, I don't know. But just to sort of bring us around, right, we started with this idea that it can't be. It undermines God somehow. If he needs us, it makes him less independent, less omni-everything. But it's not true. We saw that Malchios and being Mamlech Hashem is the centerpiece of Rosh Hashanah davening. We saw that the Ramban takes as a given that when we support Hashem, literally, we are making God bigger. Hinei Gidaltem Hashem. When we accept the Torah, we are making the Torah more firm. We are Mekim et Divrei Hashem. He doesn't need it, but that's what he wants. When we say Yud Gimel Midos, it's not a magical incantation. It's asking God to join us. And if God joins us, he has no choice. And therefore, in the end, we partner with God, we support God, we help God, either linguistically, Ein Melech Belo Am. There are certain things he can't, even if you're God, you know, you can't make a rock, you can't lift, but probably not. Probably it's substantively. Probably God chose to limit himself. He asked us, he set up a world in which he needs our help. And when we give him that help on Rosh Hashanah, we literally make him more present in our lives. It is a literal Kiddush Hashem. We are literally sanctifying him. You know, whether I convinced you or not, I think so.
Anyway, isn't this Barov Hadras Melech?
I didn't think of it in those terms, but maybe the Barov Hadras Melech more sounds like it's a greater honor to God, but it could be. I didn't think of that
Ellie,
example. I'm not sure.
Ellie, according to Rav Amital, if the Holocaust is a Chilul Hashem, that means that there are individuals that are responsible for that Chilul Hashem. So he's blaming individuals.
Who said?
Because just like your example of your Kiddush Hashem at the Chinese day, there has to be people responsible for the Chilul Hashem.
Not sure. First of all, I know Rav Amital. He didn't think so. You know, he thought it was offensive to find the people who were responsible. I think he would say, and this is how I understand it, the result was God is less present. Okay, you know, you could argue who's responsible, whatever, but the result of the Holocaust was God was less present. Literally, he was made smaller. I think that's what he meant.
I was thinking, I wanted to clarify. I think that the bottom line is that it changes us and that there's symptom to give us the option of rising to the occasion.
And I for sure agree with. I think the significance of this point is when we feel the responsibility, when we take it seriously, yeah, it's huge for us.
Right, exactly. And whether Hashem is changed in some way is beyond my pay grade. But how it affects me is where the focus should be. That's what I was saying.
Okay. I'm not going all the way there, but I certainly understand.
As far as blame is concerned, obviously there's always, you know, an issue of blame. The only thing is we lack the understanding what the blame is. We don't have Navi.
It's not the point. I don't need it. The result was, Rav Amital's point was, the result was God was less present. Okay, you know, you could do an investigation afterwards. Like, Meiron, the result was a tragedy. Okay, who's at fault is a separate question. I understand that if Jews who are going to Meiron, to Daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Lag BaOmer, die in a stampede, that's really bad. Okay, you can have an investigation afterwards. It was a Chil Hashem because of what it means to us. All right?
Well, Ellie, I just want to... Why was it...